This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour, leading you down the road to optimal living with Dr. Kevin Wallace and Dr. Zahara Sundermeyer. The doctors will focus on the foundations of health and newfound therapies you may not even know existed. Come join us on the path to your optimal life. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Kevin and Dr. Zahara.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Yes, hello to all of our followers on our lovely media here. So
I know.
Great day. It's like I think we're all still in shock that I can't that I haven't done anything criminally wrong and I don't have an ankle bracelet and I still can't leave.
I think so we're all shocked like that. Well, there's that meme going around on Facebook. Have you guys seen it where it says basically like I feel like Earth just sent us to our room for doing something wrong.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
We've totally just been sent to our rooms, guys.
Well, although, the cool thing is we're here. No, go ahead.
I was like, although I'm kind of enjoying the fact that not so much is expected of me right now. Like, I get to stay home on purpose now. It's kind of cool.
I know. This is how it used to be in high school. You'd sit there and go, I just want to stay home from school. It's like, even though now I'm starting to get that cabin fever a little bit. So I just do want to go out. I do. Exactly. So I do want to go out just a little bit. Well, like I said, hello to all of our followers that are watching us here on the CTR, as well as just all of our followers on social media. So
live on Facebook right now, I believe. Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and talk about brain health today. Yes. Amongst other things, I don't think you can take a show without talking about this lovely viral thing. So I just wanted to wish everybody being safe, take this normal precautions. Yes. We talk about certain things, just making sure your immune system stays functioning, mm-hmm. all the social distancing, washing your hands, and just making sure that when we do come out of this, we have a better introspection into what it means to be a human. So Cameron and I were just talking about some of those things. Just love thy neighbor and put all the things aside that are doing us harm, both physically, mentally, emotionally.
Well,
get past this and hopefully be better human beings.
Yeah, be helpful towards others too. There's all those really sad posts recently about, you know, the elderly population and people just that are having a hard time getting stuff because everybody else is getting stuff. So just help someone.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just be human, be helpful.
Yeah. So today we're going to hopefully lighten it up, talk about brain health. So when we finally do get past this lovely COVID-19, we can go back to semi-normal and actually have brains that now will go ahead and let us actually pick up our businesses and be entrepreneurs again.
And I know.
Be able to work a little bit harder.
Everybody's getting completely affected by this. We have a lot of friends that are out of business right now, out of work right now, hoping for unemployment. It's definitely a very interesting time.
Yeah. And so, you know, everybody feels a pinch mm-hmm. in that regard. So, you know, again, the practice that I started up here in Tucson was fantastic. And all of a sudden, like a grenade went off. And it's like, all right, we'll see what happens.
Well, I just have one thing to say before we really get started. So this Sunday, Dr. Waltz and I decided as a part of our seclusion, we were going to plant flowers and get some hummingbird feeders. And I had to make coffee before we started today's show. So I was in the middle of doing that. And there is a hummingbird feeding from our feeder. And I was super excited. Just had to say that to everybody. That made me super excited. I was like, we did it.
Yeah, exactly. And those are little things. So we plant to honeysuckle, some lavender. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll probably be out sniffing the lavender about every 5 minutes because everybody's so anxious. So I should tell everybody, go plant lavender and just sleep by it.
Well, I'm just telling the bees, this is for you. This is your stuff here. So that way they know that they have some pollen to get. So they're doing their job.
Exactly.
Well, I'm Dr. Sundermeyer, and that's Dr. Wallace. I think he's below me. Are you above me? Below me.
I don't know. It's like this one's different. It's like I'm to this side of you. You're that way, and I'm that way. This is a setup.
And this is Life Enhancement Medicine Hour. We are an integrative telemedicine clinic. So we are located in the U.S. just because even though we're in Arizona, doesn't mean that we can't meet and speak with you all over. Obviously, our website is infusionhealth.org, but you can also follow us on Instagram at infusion_health. And we obviously are just talking about different types of medicine that we love and different interests here. And today we're moving into brain health, right?
Ooh. Right.
Because we all brain have one, last I checked.
Mm-hmm. Not to be cruel, some of us are utilize them more than often. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So, if you'd like to give us a call today, you can definitely do so. It's 844-390-8255. And you can definitely private message us. It's still March, and so we're still offering our immune bundle for 15% off. Just send us your name and email to our Instagram message, and we can definitely set you up with a full script account. So let's talk go ahead. Listening.
No, I just wanted to sit there and say on our full script account, we are changing things on up. So when you sign on up and go into our favorites into the full script, you'll be able to see exactly what we think are appropriate supplements for basic conditions. So brain and adrenal and thyroid and fertility.
Yes.
And support for joint health. So if you do actually sign on up, you don't have to purchase them. You can actually peruse it. Those types of things. And that's what allows you to do, to get to see what we offer as physicians, because everything is physician grade quality. Again, not box stores and things that end with green and Mart. If you buy your vitamins from those places, well, you're not getting the best.
That's true, isn't it? All right. Yep. Well, so brain health. I think the biggest thing that we want to just intro with is that there's so many things that can go wrong to affect healthy brain optimization as we age. We have six different things that we want to kind of touch on today. But the one thing that I think is important to know is that there are so many more things than these six topics that we're going to discuss. Obviously, the most common are, traumatic brain injuries or concussions. Strokes also are included within this category. And there's not a lot in today's medicine that can really support those factors. But what we don't always talk about at this point is lifestyle factors, medications that people are taking on a daily basis, aging, and different viruses. So those are going to be kind of some fun topics that we're going to peruse through today.
Yeah. So all those moms and soccer moms that have kids that play soccer and they're doing a lot of headers.
I know. Yeah,
exactly. Me too.
Yeah, well, like I think that can be said in any sport.
But it's one of those cases where if we can teach people at a younger age that maybe are doing these types of sports and certain things that they can do more natural, whether it's a homeopathic, whether it's supportive with different supplements like fish oil and DHA, starting them at those times, because then now they're going to have less effect or hopefully no effect as they go through the aging process. And so starting them young, it's like, well, I've had concussions when in football, I was in high school, and in college I had concussions. Correct. No one ever took care of me. And then I finally get to 35, 40 and they come and see us and then we hear their history. And it's like, it'd be nice to have parents and coaches, those types of things right now, start with their youth and actually have them see a practitioner that can help them on out right now.
I think like you said, just some good basics, like get good fats in your system. When you're dealing with the fact that you might get a concussion or preventative, just head use, we'll say like with soccer, we forget how important fat is for our nervous system and our brain specifically. And a lot of the times we can really help a lot of memory and clarity issues just by prescribing healthy fats or MCT oils, fish oils, and at proper doses and appropriately good quality products. But it's amazing how just some little subtle differences with good fats can make such a big difference for people that are dealing with that stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, and with lifestyle factors, I think a big part of today's society that we really need to touch base on is going to be sleep deprivation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I found this amazing article about sleep disruption and all the things that can go wrong with it. And I'm going to post this picture on our Life Enhancement page today because I think that this is quite interesting, and I'll post the article with it. But it basically talks about short-term consequences. So if this has just been happening to you the last couple nights, obviously you have higher amounts of stress because it increases cortisol, right? It's also going to increase psychosocial issues, so things like anxiety. But long-term consequences, which I thought was super interesting, is type 2 diabetes, death, which I was like, whoa, let's discuss this one here. Because of course, lack of sleep, lack of healing, your body doesn't regenerate effectively, right? But also things like cardiovascular disease and cancer and, you know, so all these different things because of sleep. And so just imagine the impact on our cognition because we're not sleeping. And of course, all of those psychosocial issues like anxiety, depression, mood imbalance, nervousness, is it all associated with sleep? I mean, it's not always the root cause, but it's definitely an amplifier of some situations that I think are really important. And over time, sleep disruption causes decreased melatonin production. And melatonin production is a part of our natural circadian rhythm, which I think is super important to be aware of because I have so many patients that tell me, well, I don't want to take melatonin because I think it's habit forming. And I'm like, well, so is diphenhydramine and Xanax and all the other things that you know, people get because they can't sleep. And I actually think melatonin is a fantastic fix for a lot of people to support today's common. I have a tablet and I read off of a tablet at bedtime. I have really high above the head ceiling lights every day in my house, and it affects the way my body's natural melatonin releases. And so,
So definitely. So melatonin also has the benefit of being our body's one of our main antioxidants. And so, you know, you don't get that with diphenhydramine or Ambien or these other things that obviously change the brain chemistry. So melatonin has other effects rather than just helping induce sleep. So as well as with the brain, which I found out yesterday, it has a thing called a gliadic system. And so we found that as we sleep as well, our brain will actually detoxify. So it has a different mechanism that when we go into sleep, it actually has ability to drain. And so our brain is like anything else. It creates toxicity and it utilizes oxygen and mitochondria.
Right.
And so when those things obviously create waste, they have to get out. And so if we're only sleeping 4 hours a night, well, it's like they're sitting there suggesting that this glymphatic system cannot drain fully all the toxicity of the brain. And that will accumulate even more and even more. And so another reason to go ahead and get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, possibly more, is exactly for that. So again, like Dr. Sundermeyer said, that these articles and little links will be posted on Life Enhancement, just because brain health, I think for us, is probably the most important thing. Because with Alzheimer's and all these other diseases that don't kill us like right away, but obviously lead to years of debilitation, that's
correct.
For me, that just sucks.
Well, and so everybody, everyone that's reliant on the PM type over the counter pills are all taking diphenhydramine because even if they know it or not, and what we've learned too is that diphenhydramine can actually decrease our mitochondria effect, and in turn, that's a systemic effect. So it's not just our brain health at this point. This is our heart health, and this is our liver health, and this is our muscle integrity and health. So I think that things like that are just really important to know. So medications do play a huge role in dementia down the road or in poor cognition down the road. And obviously sleep is one of them. Yeah. I always tell my patients, and I've said this before, and I will say it again, if I can't get you to sleep, I'm not going to be able to help a lot of the things that we're dealing with today, you know, and even if it requires, you know, 5-HTP or, you know, theanine to help with anxiety or even CBD oils, it's like, I'm willing to use these great non-invasive nutrients to really get you to sleep. Because if not, then my job is that much harder, but also the positive effect of our treatment is that much harder.
Yeah. So. And we just have to retrain them. It's like, sleep is okay. We don't have to feel like we're being productive, you know, 19 hours out of the day and we only get 5 hours of sleep. It's like sleep is okay. It's like, oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead. You know, that whole concept. It's like, no, actually you'll be dead a lot sooner. You know, that's now studied.
So my, what is she? She's like almost two. Her birthday's in July. So my, I don't know, 19, 20 month old niece is fighting naps right now. And her parents are going above and beyond to try and get her to nap recently. And I just think to myself, none of us go above and beyond to get a nap in every day. But there are places in Spain that my mom was telling me about where, like, literally they shut down for a couple hours to have a siesta time because that's important. And so what, you know, where did we lose that? I mean, we have great work ethic here in the US, but I think we don't have good self-care ethics.
We don't. Well, that's one thing, you know, the whole concept of being out in America, it's like you work. In that regards, and you know, it's God bless us because we're one of the most profitable countries in the world. But now, as we make that ability, especially like with you and I, when we have patients that are CEOs or if they started from nothing now they have it, learning how to back off of it and understand that now your health is more of a priority rather than maybe supplying for family and colleges and your retirement funds. So those are the questions that I ask. I ask them, it's like, if you were to quit right now, could you go ahead and survive? And a lot of people say, yeah. And I go, why are you busting your hump? You know, get good lieutenants in there to go ahead and help run the company.
Yeah.
You know, learn how to go ahead and take a time off in those regards. So, you know, that is definitely important in regards to sleep deprivation. Then another thing that obviously probably relates to that is metabolic syndromes. You know, everybody's having, you know, improper nutrition and, you know, obesity, these types of things. And that's all inflammatory. Those things, you know, it just doesn't stop at the neck.
No, it totally, my brain just is here, guys. That's all I can say right here, right?
So it's like inflammation doesn't just also they circulate to the neck, you know, into the carotid artery, all these other things and turn back around and go, no, we can't go into the brain. And so it goes into the brain. So when we're eating improper and we have more adipose and we have inflammatory cytokines, these things pass, you know, the blood brain barrier and get into the brain and that creates inflammation into the brain. So, you know, when we tell people like, well, you have diabetes or you have a metabolic syndrome, I mean, it's affecting the whole entirety of your system. So we have to be able to take care of that. And now the concept of brain health switches because now obviously we have to take care of maybe some other comorbidities and help them out. And the brain function will go ahead and restore. If someone comes in and has diabetes or metabolic syndrome, I just can't throw Bicopa at them and sit there and say, yeah, just take this. This is where the studies say the milligrams and your brain health will restore. And then they come back to me all pissed because, you know,
because
it didn't
their
work.
Glucose are still above 200.
Exactly. Well, we have to take care of all of that other stuff.
Diabetic retinopathy, which is obviously inflammation in the eyes due to excess sugar, is actually an impact on the brain itself. We're just visually getting effects with our eyes. And I think it's important to remember that our eyes literally have that direct route right back into our brain. And so, you know, people don't think in that big of a category. And I had this really cool talk with a patient yesterday, I think. And we were talking about, you know, the thing that we don't get as people is that what we do on an external basis or what we eat doesn't just affect me as a one individual being, you know, it affects our hundreds of millions of cells. And that's a really hard concept, I think, for us to take over and to take hold of because, you know, we're not just this one singular entity, even though that's how we look at ourselves. But, you know, again, good fat supports our nervous system, you know, healthy nutrition supports our detox pathways. And, you know, so things like that are really hard to grasp, I think, in the big picture. And I think this goes down to, you know, better nutrition as we're little so that we can get that, you know, this feeds our body.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, everything comes down to the red blood cell. So like Dr. Sundermeyer said, it's like, the things that we went ahead and ate that day are going to be utilized for fuel and resources to build a red blood cell. So as old ones are being killed off, new ones are being made. And if you have good ingredients, you're going to make a healthy red blood cell.
Right.
If you are if you're constantly eating a standard American diet and high sugar, high crappy fat, those types of things, mm-hmm. well, that red blood cell is going to go ahead and be more brittle. It can't communicate with other red blood cells. It can't get nutrients in and out of the cell. It can't carry oxygen, you know, all those things. So we have to go ahead and be good stewards of our body. But then sometimes as physicians, we do have to be, you know, firm with a lot of our patients to sit there and say, hey, you know, we have to stop these things. You can't. You know, if your ultimate goal and our ultimate goal is life enhancement medicine. So we want to take you from, you know, either a disease state or a state that you maybe don't have optimal health. And we want to take you to that optimal health. And those people that really follow the guidelines are fantastic. Then they get there faster. The people that unfortunately are just not set quite just yet, it takes a little time, and that's all right.
It does. You know? It's completely a learning process. I think even for us, I mean, we're constantly learning. We're learning, wow, that actually didn't sit well with my body. Or even if we think it's a healthy food, good proteins, you know, not everybody does well with everything. And I think that that's a really important thing to know, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, I've learned, it's like, I love vegetables, but if I eat a lot of vegetables, it's like my body does not like or bison mixed with chorizo.
Well, no, it was beef, bison and beef. We didn't know. We tried it.
So that one.
We're learning. We are learning just as well as everybody else.
And that's the cool thing. So I think, you know, an off topic and in regards to a lot of these specialized nutrition plans, keto, paleo, Mediterranean, which obviously is the most studied, which we'll get to in brain health. But it also comes down to the individual to have a little bit more understanding of what their body feels. A long time ago, I learned from a doctor in regards to enzyme nutrition that when you go ahead and eat something, it should uplift your body. If your body's feeling burdened by it, then it's something that necessarily is not right for you. And that could be broccoli. So that's the whole concept about personalized nutrition in regards to understanding yourself. So we can do food sensitivity panels and say, remove these things and that. Great. But over a lifetime, really understanding, it's like, well, if I eat this really healthy asparagus and all of a sudden my body feels like crap, it's like, even though I said I was perfectly fine on my food sensitivity or whatever, maybe that's not a food that is supposed to uplift you. So those are the whole things that people try to do over a lifetime is find something that really personalized to you because your genetics is different than mine. And so we try our best to somewhat assist in that with doing different panels and helping you out with food. But I do really well with meat.
Well, so which is funny because I do not.
I know, exactly. So we are polar opposites.
Like I can eat nothing but vegetables all day long and feel fantastic. And if he does that, he is heavy and his digestive tract is off. And it's funny because if I eat meat all day, then I'm heavy and my digestive system is off. So it's, you know, it's about the balance. And, you know, it definitely intrigues me into the eat right for your blood type ideas. I mean, I've seen a lot of really positive effects with the eat right for your blood type with Dr. Diadamo, where people have done amazing things with metabolic disease, with everything, but we kind of fit the category between myself and him, whichever direction he is right now, is he's a total O with the meat and everything. And I'm a total A with all of the veggies. So it is kind of funny with that, but
opposites attract.
Let's talk a little bit about some things that impact our brain over time and, you know, the diseases that they cause. So obviously things like Alzheimer's and dementia, are things that really are important to be cognizant of today. It's the sixth leading cause of death, Alzheimer's is. So it's killing more than 500,000 seniors every year. So that basically is indicating that Alzheimer's is more of an issue than prostate cancer and breast cancer combined. But it's not something we talk about as much because it doesn't happen until we're elderly and, oh, you know, it's kind of like, oh, they just have dementia. But instead of treating it like we treat breast cancer and prostate cancer where we're so proactive about it, we don't really consider that it's, you know, it's an inflammatory disorder. It's a neurological disease, but we don't treat it. So there's this really cool study that talks about even things like gum infection. So gum disease, when genetically engineered to have Alzheimer's, or sorry, let me repeat this. Gum infections can worsen symptoms in mice genetically engineered to have Alzheimer's. So basically, if you are genetically inclined to get Alzheimer's and you have poor gum health, just because, of course, our gums here, our brains are here, you know, you think about that root cause, it can enhance the Alzheimer's-like effects on the brain and obviously cause more brain inflammation, neural damage, and more plaques, which I thought was really interesting. So it's talking about just like, again, these lifestyle things of basic teeth, you know, oral care. I mean, that made me want to go to the dentist. Clean my mouth. Tell me what's wrong with all the things.
Well, but, I agree.
Yeah, well, I know we both need to go to the dentist. The other thing too is chronic oxidative stress, which of course is just our daily life, you know, but also the foods that we eat that impact our system, does induce neuroinflammation and neurodegeneration over time. So just that cheeseburger and fries repetitively through the week, or, you know, fried chicken, and, you know, being behind in traffic every day because you drive over the Altamont or whatever you're doing, you know, just what are those environmental factors causing on our brain, and how is that affecting our brain health in 30 years? And that's kind of a saddening thing to me.
Well, it is. So we have our patients that come in, and we talked about the theories of aging. So the free radical theory, the telomere length, you know, programmed cell death. So all those things have in common is exactly that: oxidative stress, attacking the genetic code, attacking the cellular walls, all those types of things. And so we have to go ahead and be able to understand those and then assist them with antioxidants and teaching them behaviors, because those things affect mitochondria are huge. Mitochondrial dysfunction increases as we age. And if we can go ahead and increase the mitochondria and make it like it feels like it's 25 again, it's like, all right, it's going to help get rid of all that reactive oxygen species and all that good stuff.
Well, the cool thing about this seminar that I was at in the end of February is one of the topics was mitochondrial function. And is this really the root cause of not only just aging or mitochondrial dysfunction, right? But also of all disease, not just aging, like, you know, but different hypertension and hypercholesterolemia and things like brain dysfunction, you know, is it all a disease of our mitochondria? And if so, how do we make sure that our mitochondria are functioning effectively and optimally, right? And that's just, again, good nutrition and good health and good wellness and mitochondrial support. But, you know, things like that I thought were really interesting.
So lifestyle factors, got to stay away from the processed food. You know, with Alzheimer's, so there's a great test that we utilize from Cyrix Labs that test all pretty much parameters of what can lead to Alzheimer's. So a pathogen, viral loads, heavy metals, chemicals. And so there's a lot of things that attack the brain and attack our body, but it does. It goes back down to that basic concept that a free radical attacking the mitochondria, you know, pesticides, heavy metals, you know, improper food, viruses, all those things attack the mitochondria because that's what is needed for our body to actually survive.
Correct.
And so those are the things that, you know, if we can catch Alzheimer's soon enough, and that's what this lab is basically designed to do, it tests everything. So if you're positive in all of those things or some of those, you can start attacking it now. So just because we're 30, it's like, well, do we have a pathogen that has been in our body and we'll finally start to go ahead and create that detriment later on, because it's slowly turning to go ahead and cause, like I said, all that harm. So there are certain tests that you can utilize, and Cyrix Labs is one of the ones that we actually utilize.
Cool.
So and so we talk about different things in regards to food and how they go ahead and help on out with the lifestyle factors. So proper foods obviously lead to proper hormones, leptin, ghrelin, insulin-like growth-like factor, glycogen-like peptide 1. And so these are different types of things that obviously will help improve some of the brain function. So where am I at here?
11.
We're going to...
11. We're on 11. You have this fancy graph that you get to talk about because you read about it last night.
Oh, the lovely thing with the
diet and exercise and our mitochondrial health. We've like put it right in for you to discuss this cool little image.
All right. Well, very cool. All right. So diet and exercise. So yes. And so one of the caveats that we obviously can get for free is exercise. And so people just don't understand how exercise is probably the one caveat that affects all lifestyle factors. And so we can somewhat, they did a great study in regards to having a standard American diet and looking at blood markers with exercise and a standard American diet without exercise. And they found out that in the exercise group, even though they ate unfortunately unhealthy, that a lot of their markers would stay pretty much in the normal ranges as compared to people that did not exercise at all. So exercise has a huge, huge effect upon the mitochondria. If you have a proper diet, proper exercise, it will obviously empower the mitochondria to work a little bit better, get oxygen, clear itself out of all of its garbage. Our muscles actually make other hormones. It's just not for us to move our body. It's like it actually makes hormones like myostatin, these different types of things. But then what it does, it increases brain-derived neuroprotective factor, IGF-1, which actually increases the synaptic, basically plasticity. So if we think about our body is supposed to be fluid. Things are supposed to move and get in and out of cells, and the plasticity of things are supposed to be appropriate. So if we have a very brittle system and we don't have maybe enough exercise or diet or fats to actually make a healthy red blood cell with that phospholipid bilayer, and now it's all brittle, well, the plasticity actually starts to go and go down. And we have better cognition. If we don't eat proper and we don't exercise, this increases that reactive oxygen species. And that's when you start to go ahead and see possibly epigenetics rear its ugly head, more inflammation.
Correct.
And so we want to make sure that part of our, obviously our foundation, everything goes back to the foundational component is diet and exercise. And so I can't stress enough exercise. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. There are things that can be done. I don't care if you're in pain. It's like there are things that actually can be done to go ahead and improve all of those situations with exercise.
Right.
So, and obviously being in the field for as long as I have, it's like I've seen, you know, dramatic things happen when people exercise. And I think even in our practice since we started, when people really adhere to the 5x5 exercise that I give probably almost all my patients, if they adhere to it, they always come back in about 30 days and go, you know what? I feel so much better. Just doing
it's amazing what circulation can do. Absolutely. Well, and I think this also goes back to, there are so many things that can affect our epigenetics. I mean, there's that concept of dirty genes. There's a book out there named Dirty Genes, and it basically goes into anybody can have dirty genes, whether you have genetic polymorphisms or not, right? Mm-hmm. And so, again, if you don't exercise and you have a standard American diet, and it's kind of sad that we're so down on ourselves with our diet, because I feel like we're actually getting to a place where we're not eating as bad as Americans. But, you know, we did have a very big time frame where, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken was the thing. And so, you know, those can impact even clean genes over time. You know, genes that are healthy and naturally move positively. And all of a sudden you introduce toxins into the system, whether it's a sedentary lifestyle or, you know, poor food or environmental components, all of those things can negatively be affected regardless of whether it's clean or not, right?
Correct.
So tell me about this gut-brain axis then.
The gut-brain. So obviously I think, exactly. So obviously there's been tons of studies with the gut-brain axis of how the brain obviously has different hormones that are related obviously into the gut and vice versa. So in the past decade has seen a paradigm shift in the understanding of the gut, brain-gut axis. So the exponential growth of evidence dealing with the bidirectional interactions between the gut microbiome and the brain supports a comprehensive model that integrates the central nervous system. So what it's basically saying is that if we have improper bacteria within our gut, it's actually going to relate back up into the brain. There's different mechanisms that they're finding out that actually there's a direct access from the gut to the brain, that these bad bacteria can actually go up into this area and pass the blood-brain barrier, possibly through the vagus nerve as well.
Oh, interesting.
And so there's a huge, like I said, understanding that these things can increase Parkinson's and autism and anxiety and depression. So it's that same concept that, you know, more and more data keeps coming out. But I think as naturopathic and functional medicine doctors, all disease, they said, begins in the gut.
You know? Absolutely.
And so sometimes I think that's related as to being true. So we have our GALT and BALT in the gut. We have all these other immune systems or whatever that are designed into the gut that we talked about last time. But now if we have these improper pathogens creating their byproducts, well, these byproducts just don't stay there. They circulate throughout the system and actually can create, like I said, disease processes. So it's the same concept that we talked about earlier. Someone comes in and they have brain fog and we sit there and hear about possibly their history. Well, do we need to do a comprehensive stool analysis, those types of things to find out what is going on with their microbiota in regards to a pathogen that might be related with this gut-brain access? So we can't just treat the brain. We have to treat everything. And so obviously more and more studies are coming on out. This is just a simple synopsis and the summary. Otherwise, we could spend probably 4 hours on just the gut-brain access in regards. But this is something for people to look on up. Again, this will have a link upon our Facebook page. So you can actually read the article in PubMed. Mm-hmm. So you can go ahead and be extremely educated in regards to that. So treating our microbiome appropriately and our microbiota appropriately. Again, so it needs to be fed. So fiber, those types of things, fermented foods that will actually help one out. And then Dr. Sundermeyer taught me through one of her seminars that, you know, when we have a pathogen, possibly dosing out some probiotics to maybe help the pathogen ease, but then after that, stopping just because in most micro or probiotics will have like different strains, maybe 10. And so our body obviously creates so many more. So if we just continue doing that, now we only have 10 strains because it's crowding out everything else.
Right. So we're just strengthening those 10. It's a huge concept in what we've been doing even with our microbiome and how it's changed, I think, both of our viewpoints on treatment of the digestive system. And I think, obviously, I have my new favorite prebiotic at this point in time. And I definitely am and using that every day now as opposed to my probiotic. I do intermittently take a probiotic when I feel like my digestive system, like I've eaten something inappropriately and I feel like I have a little less control over what I've just put into my system. Like when we have, you know, like Indian food and I go a little crazy on the buffet. But at that point in time, it's, you know, it's a one and done kind of a deal just to support the balance and obviously digestive enzymes. But on a daily basis now, I'm doing, you know, collagen and prebiotics as opposed to, you know, making sure that I'm taking my probiotic at 25 billion CFUs or whatever dose, you know, we were thinking was appropriate because we've now learned, like you're saying, there are over 100 different beneficial bacteria in our system. And, you know, how is our 12 strain probiotic affecting that? You know, there's now this idea of spore-forming probiotics that go in and enhance your own natural microbiome. But I feel like I still am happier with feeding the soil so that my garden grows, you know, my beneficial bacteria grows appropriately as opposed to, you know, trying to implement that mega spore kind of concept or other spore-forming. There's a bunch out there now. I thought that was really interesting when I was looking them up recently.
They kind of came out kaboom.
They did. But so did all this awesome research. So in the last, I think, 2 years, all this research has really started coming out about the microbiome itself. And that's one we could probably have a talk on for days.
Yeah, I agree. So just feed the system. So feed good fiber. Let your natural probiotics feed upon that fiber in that regard. So again, so we can take a probiotic, but if we take it and it just sits in our GI and we don't feed it, it's going to die. It needs food to feed on.
Hence
so making
fiber.
Sure that you eat appropriately, hence fiber. Exactly. All right. So other things to go ahead and help on out with brain health. So, because I know we have, you know, another 30 minutes, so we have to get through all of these things because there's some fantastic things to actually do. Well, so we can talk about this stuff for.
We could talk about the causes of brain dysfunction for days, but let's talk a little bit about what things can actually help our brains now, because that's kind of the point of the conversation, is what things are being shown today to enhance brain function, but also help support brain disease. So obviously we have a diet that's imbalanced. So we've been talking about how important diet is today when it's associated with our brain health and obviously our body as a whole. And, you know, the biggest and most studied diet of this at this time is the Mediterranean diet, where it's a combination of healthy fats, good fiber, good proteins. And obviously we can't all eat like the Mediterranean does, but it is interesting that when you create this certain structure between fat and carbohydrates and protein, that you create a really healthy, you know, intake for our body. And not only is this really beneficial with cardiovascular disease, it's amazing in a fertility world. This is the diet that I recommend in a fertility world, but also brain now. So we're just showing that, you know, this balance of omega-3s and omega-6s are huge for us. And that's obviously the big thing, right, with the Mediterranean diet is good, healthy fish. And those fats from the fish, those omega-3s. So
yeah, exactly. And making sure it's wild caught. Like don't sit there and go to the grocery store or whatever and get Atlantic caught salmon in that regard. So we just have to make sure that people are fed appropriately. So Mediterranean, like I said, the most studied, obviously it is the most studied, but when people have a certain lifestyle or a certain diet that they want to eat, we just make sure we can go ahead and add in some extra stuff. Because when people can be vegetarian, but that can be a carbitarian where they're just eating pasta and bread.
Oh yeah.
So we have to make sure that they are incorporated with the other things that the body needs, especially healthy fats. But carbs are not inherently bad. So our body needs carbohydrates to actually function 100% in that regards. So herbs, obviously, it's like there's a great study that I'll post that has all the herbs that can help the system on out that I found on PubMed. But this one was interesting. They have a combination of ginkgo biloba, polygia, tignifolia, and lyse fructus for the widely studied neuroprotective properties. And so the results basically showed that it associated with increased memory, cognitive function, and decreased necrosis. And so these three, I just recently found on out. I knew ginkgo, but I did not know the other two. So I'm interested to go ahead and learn a little bit more, maybe make a tincture of these. But then there's a list of continuation of herbs, and there are a lot. And so what I'll do is I will post this upon our Facebook page. So everybody that's interested, because there is everything from withania that we utilize a lot of to angelica, ginkgo,
Well, and I remember that ginkgo was huge with brain dysfunction because of its enhanced circulation to the brain itself. Correct. So, I mean, obviously you increase blood flow, you increase better oxygen, you increase better nutrients to the region. So that's always fantastic with one of ginkgo's mechanisms. But the cool thing is we obviously also have things like, you know, like you were saying, is I think even huperzine is in there, which was shown to enhance learning and performance in adolescence, because it actually decreases inflammatory markers in the system, which of course increases inflammatory markers in the brain. It also was protective against excessive GABAergic. I'm not going to say that word right. Let's just put it that way. GABAergic, if there's not even N in it, I don't know, transmission, right? So it actually had anticonvulsant activity is basically what it comes down to. And obviously all of these positive anti-inflammatory effects of the huperzine A was also shown to be helpful with Alzheimer's patients with the progression, not necessarily the progression of the disease, but how they kind of came back a little bit with better learning and cognition. So I thought that that was a really cool component and of nutrients that can be beneficial. And then obviously another really awesome nutrient. Now we can talk about nutrients for days, but I picked two, which was also vinpocetine, which has been shown to improve recall and cognition after 6 weeks of intake. So, you know, you're dealing with, of course, you know, cognitive issues, memory function, maybe foggy thinking. Obviously, my first is always fat, you know, always enhance your fat intake. But secondarily, I mean, I'm really intrigued with what the anti-inflammatory effects of vinpocetine at this point in time. And obviously, it's important to know that we talk about these things in general terms. So, you know, when you're really looking for something that can be supportive, you know, definitely speak with the proper practitioner about your specific case, because you might have cognitive issues and vinpocetine might help, but it might be because you have an estrogen deficiency or a testosterone deficiency. So, you know, remembering that, or digestive dysfunction, which is causing all of your cognitive issues. So it's important that you don't just go, oh, my brain needs help, so I'm just going to take one thing for my brain.
Correct. That's the whole, you know, the whole totality of that. Like you said, it's like, so when someone comes in and we suspect to have a hormone deficiency, you bet. So estrogen, testosterone, vasodilators obviously helps on that with brain function. So correct. You are correct.
Now,
and what was the other one? So you had vinpocetine and...
Oh, I talked about Huperzine already.
Okay.
I did my job. But now we get to move on to our favorite category, which is obviously peptides and brain health. So we came up, now there are a bunch, but we came out with the top five. The bad thing is we've just recently lost two really great ones, one called cerebrolysin and one called ludagliotide. How do you say that one? I don't remember.
Yeah.
So we just lost those two because I think they're actually going to be made into actual medications, which means they'll probably lose some of the amazing benefits like we always do. But one, obviously,
cerebrolysin is made with a smaller amino acid sequence, so it can be technically classified as a peptide. So it's coming back.
Well, it'll be coming back as something totally different, though. Going to get the positive benefit. Well, I mean, we hope it will, but there's so many other things that we can do to enhance, like, again, thymus and alpha. So we'll talk about this one in so many different applications. It's specifically indicated to help decrease inflammatory cytokines, which of course can cause brain damage and inflammation over time. It normalizes brain homeostasis. So of course it creates that better balance in the system. And it improves your mitochondrial regulation and function of the brain. Like, how could you go wrong with that? Like, I mean, of the functions, it just reminds you how important our immune system is. And as we talked about at our last show, you know, as we age, we lose this peptide over time because our thymus gland goes from, you know, this big to this big. And I mean, for the longest time, like we said, we didn't even know the thymus gland existed, because when we were doing human exploration, I suppose, in autopsies, it was so small that people didn't even think it was significant. I think that this is like probably going to be one of my new favorite go-tos as we're kind of cleaning up the system, just because of all of its protective immune response functions.
So the cool thing about peptides is we can make it specific to what we want to target. So that's cool. Correct. Because we talk about what are the things that affects brain health, inflammation, mitochondrial dysfunction. And so thymus and alpha works fantastic. Another one specific for the mitochondria is LOTS, which is a mitochondrial peptide. So it's basically helps repair. It can translocate into the nucleus in response to metabolic stress and regulation of adaptive nuclear gene expression. So this allows the peptide to promote resistance and metabolic stress by upregulation of the mitochondrial genome. And so as we obviously have, when we say metabolic stress, reactive oxygen species starts to attack the mitochondria. Well, this can go on and translocate and actually help the mitochondria start to function better. Okay. Obviously, it's like with their support, you know, that we sit there and give, whether it's through nutrients or food, that we go ahead and help with those. So the cool thing about peptides, again, I love them just because they're very safe. They're very effective, and then their side effect profile is pretty much non-existent. So it's fantastic.
Well, and I do think, again, it's important to note that everyone should be dosed a little differently. There's common dosing strategies of everything, but just based on the client and based on the history, you have to know dosing strategies. Like, I completely changed the dosing strategy of thymus and alpha recently to a woman who I've been dealing with that has some very big genetic SNPs. And, you know, we know that we have to detox her digestive system. We know we have to clean up her digestive tract, but everything we've done so far has caused a flare. which I thought was interesting, of hooray nods. And so we're starting with thymosin alpha 1, which I'm really excited about. But my dosing strategy for her was so minimal with the intro of thymosin alpha into her system.
Correct.
That if you just go get this online and you do it yourself, you can actually cause some really interesting reactions. And I think it's important to know that although they're safe, that they're also medicines and they should be they should have proper guidelines. I've had people that have come in and, you know, they Google, right? All the different things that help with certain things, but they're taking them completely wrong. And so they now have more fatigue and their brain doesn't function as well and they're exhausted and, you know, and then you just change. Well, the products that you have were decent, but you were taking them totally wrong. And now you kind of just modify the way they dose and, oh my God, they were feeling so much better. So it is important to have a happy practitioner on your side.
Correct. So see someone that knows about peptides. And so myself, Dr. Sundermeyer, we do all of our consultations online. And
just
so,
like this. Again,
just like this. And so you do not have to come to a waiting room or all that. You can stay in your car if you wanted to.
You could stay in your car or your own house since we're all stuck in our houses right now and still have internet. What?
So hopefully. Another one is called, I want to get to these peptides. Another one is called Dihexa. So specifically designed for the treatment of Alzheimer's. So enhanced recall of memory and learning. And shown to be 7 orders of magnitude more potent than brain-derived neurotrophic factor, has been used to manage depression, treat migraines, improve general long and short-term memory and focus and learning. So again, the cool thing about in science nowadays, we're living in such a great time, is that these lovely scientists and researchers will find a certain amino acid sequence that unlocks something. They look at it, they go ahead and test it, they formulate something, and then they basically see what happens, and some fantastic things happen with these peptides.
And the cool thing is it's stuff that works within our system as that lock and key mechanism. My body recognizes it, and it acts based on what it's what door it opens, which I think is so cool. Mm-hmm. Obviously, at this point, the last one that we definitely should talk about, I think, is our growth hormone releasing peptides and growth hormone secreting peptides, which, of course, has been shown to be really beneficial with improvement of working memory and cognition. But also, I think it's important to just remember that, you know, growth hormone release is affected by sleep. And how many of us wake up at 3 a.m. every morning and get our growth hormone release negatively affected? So this is obviously one of those last ones that we love, the CJC with Ipamorelin, just because of their dual effect on the system and how it helps the body as a whole, but also it just enhances sleep over time, but also inflammation and, as we've shown, just better working memory. So
and this one has a great study in regards to, we'll post on LifeHandsmith, the page or Facebook page, in regards to imaging that shows pre and post. So pre use of growth hormone, post, it actually shows that a lot of the brain matter will actually restore and different parts of the brain will actually have better blood flow. So a great study.
Well, you can't be better blood flow. That's all what we lack these days, isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, today, obviously, we had a lot of fun talking about brain health. And we're really excited because we're kind of on a roll right now. And I think at our next show, we're super excited because we're going to do something completely different, where Dr. Wallace was like, what are we going to do? Well, technically, I said, what are we going to do? And he said he wants to do something fun. And I think every time we talk, this is fun, but he wants to do something that is going to be more uplifting for our spirits. And I thought that was really cool. So some things that we're going to talk about are going to be things like hobbies of health, I think is going to be what I'm calling this, uplifting the spirits. And so we're really excited to kind of talk about this because I think this is things that we take for granted in our basic health and living and our lifestyle. And so look forward to seeing you guys next week at 8 a.m. Wednesday to talk about hobbies of health, uplifting the spirit, and to get more fun information from us while you guys are all secluded at home and in lockdown and in quarantine. We're having all these fun words today, where it means we're just stuck in the house.
No, well, the cool thing is, like, uplifting the spirit, some things we can do as you're being locked up in your house and locked down. It's like, I feel like I'm the mafia.
You are the mafia.
I know. So these are the things that we can do, whether it means learn language, do different things like that, garden. So yeah. These things will be discussed, and some things that we do to go ahead and help us out, some things we can research and suggest for you to go ahead and have fun during this time. Right. But again, everybody be safe.
Yes. And, you know, don't forget to get a little movement in today. Everybody, like, you know, some jumping jacks, some, you know, beginner push-ups, because we all haven't done push-ups recently. And don't forget to give us a follow on our Instagram page, infusion_health. And obviously that's where you can find us doing fun stuff, but also just fun tips. This is our Life Enhancement Medicine Hour. And I thought, you know, this was great. Yeah. This was
I'm Dr.
Today.
Wallace.
You are Dr. Wallace. I'm Dr. Sundermeyer. How, where mm-hmm. am I? Am I over here or over there? Because we'll you're over there.
You. No, exactly. We'll see you in 1 week. And what we'll do is we'll have a joke or something.
We'll have a joke. Actually, what we should do is request jokes. So next week, I would like someone to tell us a joke on our little comment feed, and we can definitely tell the world your joke. So let's see what we can get.
It has to be PG.
It's true. Good call. No cussing.
Parental guidance need.
No cussing.
All right. Disney, all right, everybody.
Disney oriented at this point in time, right?
Yep. All right. We'll see you in seven days, everybody. Take care.
You guys have a fantastic day.
You've been listening to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour with Dr. Wallace and Dr. Sundermeyer, bringing the power of health to your listening ears. You can learn more by visiting infusionhealth.org. That's infusionhealth.org. Follow them on social media and join the movement to better health.
Wait, are you sure it's on?
Positive.
Wow, it's really quiet.
Yeah, that's Daikin, all right. And it does it all with less energy than your old system.
HVAC sure has come a long way. Inverter technology from Daikin uses 30% less energy than traditional non-inverter systems. So while your home is cooling, your energy bill gets even cooler. Daikin, air intelligence.
Contact ACS Air at 520-200-8207 for a free at-home estimate. License number 111230.
Indian gaming casinos are doing wonders for our tribal communities. But with all the good comes a hidden danger, problem gambling. But there is help. The Arizona Division of Problem Gambling offers resources and counseling to help people understand and manage their gambling problem and start taking steps forward in their recovery. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 and start solving your problem gambling.